You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. I'm your host, Ludini, a.k.a. Lou Lombardi. Sitting next to me in the co-pilot's chair, the lady here in the fantastic T-shirt. Why, that's a wife beater. Are you wearing a wife beater? Oh, okay. We don't promote violence against women. Lily V6.
So,
okay, hold on a second here. Hold on. Let's do that again. Sitting next to me in the co-pilot's chair is Miss Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio. What's up, Lily?
What's up?
All right, cool. We got a level on you now.
Good.
We were unleveled there for a second, but now we're level. Keith the Hawk Hawkins all the way from New Orleans. What's going on down there, Keith? He's got his Cubs hat on. What's going on?
What's up? It's raining today here. It's raining really hard.
Oh.
But we'll get through it. No hurricane or anything. So
that's good.
All right.
That's a plus.
Long as there ain't no hurricanes. Anyways, you're listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You want to go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Check out all the cool stuff there. You podcast you like, please share them around. Let everybody know. That's how we promote. That's how music gets promoted here in 2018. Also, there's a little merchandise box there. Click that. Get yourself some cool swag. There's all kind of cool Ludini swag there. Check it out. If you'd like to get in on the goodies, you want to get on the behind-the-scenes stuff with me, you want to join my inner circle, and you can do that at LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. That is LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. You get exclusive music, exclusive video, stuff you can't get anyplace else. You get exclusive conversation. You get all kind of cool behind-the-scenes stuff. It's a cool hang. Check it out, LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. Tonight's topic... There's a lot of bands out there that, you know, they do just fine with one hot guitar player. Van Halen, right? Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, they all do great. But there's those bands that just want to take it to the next level. When your guitar is on 10, your amp's on 10, everything's on 10, where do you go?
11.
How do you rock harder? No, that's a popular misconception. You get another guitar player. That's how you do it. That's how you get that push over the cliff. So we're going to be talking about that tonight, that push over the cliff, and all the bands that give us that great push over the cliff. So that's the topic for tonight. We're going to be going around the room and as well as talking about your picks from Facebook today and the live folks that are hanging out with us tonight. Who do we have hanging out with us tonight, Lily?
We have Chris Thunderwolf, Tracy Sampson, Mickey Hernandez, Bob Ridgway, if I could talk, Keith, Amanda Lynn Schrack, Amelia Horosky, Terry Nick, and did I say Mickey Hernandez?
Yes.
Okay, and that's Mickey it Hernandez. Right now.
We'll say Mickey Hernandez twice.
Mickey
he's
Hernandez.
Just that
Mickey.
Good.
Hey, Mickey, you're so fine.
He is fine. All right, so that is the topic for tonight. It is, I mean, there's so many different directions we can go, but I think we should maybe kind of take a step back. And just kind of maybe talk, before we're going to jump right in and give the top five, right?
Let's
go around and maybe talk about a few honorable mentions, why we like these bands with the two guitars. So who wants to start first? Is it Lily or Keith? Heads or tails?
I've been starting first. Okay, cool.
It is Keith starts first.
Me?
I flipped a guitar pick.
Okay. I'm going to go... You have the usual suspects on a lot of these. I mean, some of them are no-brainers, right? I mean, we're going to talk about them all, but we'll try. There's a couple that I want to go off the grid a little bit with, and people should realize where stuff comes from. I think a band that got overlooked in this topic or does get overlooked in this is a band Wishbone Ash from England. I mean, not a lot of people know the band, but if you go back their early catalog, Pilgrimage, Argus, There's the Rub. They have so many albums. They put almost like one a year. They're still touring, but they have a very heavily two-guitar influence sound, and they were putting out stuff in the early 70s when it might not have been as, you know, popular as it became. I think this is one of the pioneers and just not a huge band, but you should learn where things come from. And I think Wishbone Ash gets overlooked as being one of maybe a very influential band. I know Steve Harris has been on record as saying that their sound has influenced Maiden, so that's good enough for me. So that's a band, like I said, it's not my top five. It probably would be on very few people's top five. Some people don't even know what the hell it is. But just after researching, having knew the band, funny thing is, like, their drummer is a younger dude from England, Joey Crabtree, and I actually talked to him on the online a few times. He does some online lessons, and he plays for them, and he has a ball, you know. So, like, some just older guys. The two original members, Andy Powell and Ted Turner, not that Ted Turner from TBS, but Andy Powell's still in the band, and just, you know, they have a very heavily two guitar sound. I mean, they play off each other well, whoever Andy Powell was playing with that day, and it's a band that I think if you play guitar, which I do not, you should check out because they have that twin guitar attack going on. So Wishbone Ash should get a little love on the show.
I think that there's a what are you drinking? Wow. What the heck was
what
that?
What was that?
You got this little tiny bottle. Like, that?
Did you steal that off the airplane?
Hey, Katie Simone, no. What's up?
I got this at Stirling Castle. It's a Speyside Scotch, 10 years old.
God, what does that little bottle run you? About $40?
No, I think it was only $6 or pounds. Okay.
I think that the bands that do it really, really well are the bands where the two guitars are distinctive, yet they work together, you know. And I think that an example, and this is a band that is not, I don't think is, I didn't hear, I didn't know if anybody mentioned on Facebook or not today. And they aren't necessarily on my list, but I think they're a good, cool band is Rich Robinson and Mark Ford from the Black Crowes. You know, they have they're both blues guitar players, but they have like each of them has a different tone, a different vibe, and when they kick in and do their own thing, it's like very distinctive. So they do a good job of sort of like creating a sort of so one of the things that the twin guitar thing can do is kind of like break up the sort of band's sound enough to make it kind of things like kind of more interesting. Now we said we weren't going to talk about Southern Rock, and we're not. But another band that's just, I think we'd be shot if we didn't just say, even though it's not, they didn't make the list, is the Allman Brothers. Is the difference between Dwayne and Dickie, the way those get just very different styles. And so when you have a band like the Black Crowes, where the two guitar players are very different, you can kind of like really kind of create. It isn't so much that they're playing off each other as much as they're bringing like a different voice. It's like having, it's almost like having a guitar solo and then like having a sax solo, you know. It's like Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks. You know, they have very different approaches to their playing, you know. But when they play together, you don't really hear as much distinction as you would in some of the other bands, I think, that are kind of on our lists tonight, where the two guitars really, there's an interplay that's really, 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 really cool. I think, I don't know what you guys have on your list. I don't want to get into that just yet. So those are things we're looking at. Plus, we're also looking at influence. Like, you brought up Wishbone Ash. So there's some two guitar bands out there that just, like, changed guitar playing. Because the guitar players were so fantastic and influenced the whole next generation of guys playing. So those are also sort of like those are also some of the criteria we're talking about tonight. What did you want to chime in there with?
This is a band that a lot of people picked, but it's not on my top five. But it's a great band. Queensryche, Wilton and DeGarmo, 80s band, 80s to now band, hard rock band. They had a unique style in that they would like come up with a solo and they would play it twin style, and then of course they did the back to back solos, and then the classic twin riffs, of course. So, I unfortunately always overlook this band. I don't know why, because they're fantastic, but yeah, I don't have them on my top five. But they were very important.
I think another band that somebody mentioned that I think a lot of people forget about is Scorpions.
Yeah,
you know that's another band with two really great guitar players. And I mean, there's a lot of bands of that era too, where it was that you have to have the two because who's going to fill in while the other guy's playing the solo?
Right.
Tesla, a lot of bands like that.
Yeah, that's another one I always overlook.
That have a great guitar. Who do we got? Jeff Gardner, Frank Wilk, Mike Martin.
Jump back on here.
Everybody's jumping in, hanging out. Appreciate you guys hanging in. What are some of your favorite twin guitar bands, guys? We're going to be talking. We're going to pick a top five here a little bit later on, but we're sort of discussing the sort of twin guitar ethos. What do you got on your mind there, Keith, about this subject?
Another one that I think would I'm trying to just get more bands that are probably not a lot of people's top fives. Like I said, I think that a lot of the top fives are going to be the same usual suspects that, you know, you think of when it comes to the, you know, the twin guitar sound. But I think a band who I had the pleasure of seeing live a long time ago that worked very well together, and I actually got to see this lineup, was King Crimson with Robert Fripp and Adrian Belew playing. They were amazing. They're just an amazing band. But those two work well together, and Robert Fripp's a freaking genius anyway, probably the godfather of prog rock. But getting my prog rock side on a little bit, that's a band that when you hear them, there's a lot of layers to their music. So sometimes you can pick out like this very, if one guitar player is doing something, the other one's doing something completely opposite of, but it's just worked well together. It's very, the intricate rhythms and the cool sound of the way they mesh together is, I think, makes that band just a timeless prog rock band that, you know, is very, I think, very influential on people too. It's, you know, not so much maybe the prog rock side of it, but just the way of using cool chords and melodies and things together, I think was always something. They were way ahead of their time.
I think that something that's really important when you have two guitar players in a band is that they have to be different enough to be able to work together.
Yeah.
If they're too similar, they can kind of run into things where they're hearing the music in the same way, they can start stepping on each other's toes. And you mentioned King Crimson. What's very interesting about that is Fripp and Belew are like polar opposites.
Yeah.
Adrian Belew is not only a great guitar player, he's also he's kind of the front man for that band. He's sort of the more energetic guy, kind of the more out there guy, doing some of the more crazy, weird stuff, bending the neck and doing all kind of crazy stuff like that. And Fripp is kind of the professor. Sitting there,
yeah, he's definitely,
like small refrigerator full of equipment and the guitar like positioned way up here by his boobs and just
he's like a mad scientist.
Yeah, he's like the mad scientist. Right. So those, that's one thing that's very cool about that is the way those two guys, they are very different. Now we're gonna, now some of the bands that we talked about, and I think when Lily mentioned Wilton and DeGarmo from Queensryche, those guitar players are more similar, but they have found a way to kind of work together as well, even though they have similar styles. It's kind of how they work. So there's, you have to have a different, you have to really look at the situation, because if everybody wants to do the same thing at the same time, it's not going to work. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I've been in many two guitar bands over, you know, my career, many. And sometimes it was a complete cluster, and sometimes it worked really, really well. The last band that I was in with two guitars, it actually worked really, really well because I had matured enough to realize I've got to play with this guy. So I found a way to work around this guy, and it made me kind of think of cooler things to do with the guitar that he wasn't doing to really complement the sound, to make the, to thicken the thing up, to do something that was kind of counterpoint to what he was doing. So you have to have that in the band. If one guy is kind of just blazing all out, the other guy has to find a way to kind of work his way in, and vice versa.
I feel like there's going to be like a lot of fighting in that.
There can be.
There can be.
And I have been in those situations too. It's unfortunate where there has been fighting, egos, two guys can't work together, stuff like that.
I would feel that happens a lot. But okay. You guys are all mentioning my other ones that I have, but I saw Accept on there. Now, I didn't realize that they had two guitarists, so I was trying to read up on that just now. So if anyone can, like, chime in on that, because I really don't know about that band very much.
I don't know much about
Except.
I don't know much about them either. Do you know about the band Except? I apologize for my ignorance on Except. I do like some of their music. I love...
I love their music.
Just put a new song out that I hit the singer. Just put out a new song that I thought was really cool, and Udo. I posted it. Yeah. Yeah. Udo.
Udo the writer.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's from Germany, if you did not know.
I assumed with that name.
With a name like Udo Dirksner, why couldn't you be? But I wasn't even aware they had two guitar players. All I know is balls to the wall, so I mean, if there's two guitars, rock it on, man. I have no idea.
I was hoping somebody would know that.
a band that has not, and you see a lot of the usual suspects here.
Of course.
And we're going to be talking about them because I think we kind of all have I think there's going to be a lot of overlap on all three of our lists.
Yeah.
But a band that I'm looking here, first of all, I want to congratulate our audience. There's only one person that mentioned Leonard Skinner. So thank you. I'm glad there was only one person that did that. But a band that's not on this list that was a very cool two-guitar band from the 70s was a band called Kansas.
Oh.
And Kerry Livgren and Rich Williams worked very, very well together, and you listen to they get guitar work on Carry On Wayward Son, and the one guitar player going and the other guy going playing the octave and back and forth is and that's what it doesn't sound like you listen to
I mean, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so that is another band where the two guitar players just kind of found that groove. They knew how to kind of really work with each other with the subtleties and with the drastic differences. So one that's kind of forgotten as well. Keith, you got anything? You got another one you want to mention here, or anything else you want to bring up? We're going to probably play a band here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, this band probably maybe got overlooked too, but I mean, two of the most influential guitar players of all time worked together in a band called the Yardbirds. I mean, you might have heard of them. But Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck were both guitar players in the Yardbirds. And to me, Jeff Beck is still the greatest guitar player I've ever heard in my life. Jimmy Page is no slouch himself. I don't really think those two played in a very long time in that band. You can correct
I think
me on
it was
that,
a year. I think it was 1 year.
Yeah, that's it. But just to have those two together in the same band, that had to be like, if you were in that band, it felt like if I was playing drums in that band, I wouldn't be able to concentrate. But like, these two are my band. So that would be really cool. And I think that, again, those two went on to be such influential guitar players in their own right, you know, that maybe people forget they were actually in the same band for a while. That's almost like a friggin' dream band right off the bat. So it's that's a band I wanted to mention so it didn't get, you know, overlooked there. So the Yardbirds were a band that I think should get a little love in this one. So
I want to say one thing. We'll tell a little bit. The legend is that they toured. It was all good. They came to America, and Jeff Beck just left. They were playing in San Francisco or Los Angeles, and he was just like, I don't know, I don't feel like playing tonight.
I'm done. Bye.
That was it.
I can do that. You
know, he just left. He's like, I'm done.
He might have been hopped up on goofballs at the time or something.
What do you got, Lily? You want to chime in with anything?
Well, the rest are my top five. I don't want to chime in yet.
Yeah, we don't want to do our top five.
No. Okay.
So we're gonna come back and talk about our top five here in a minute. We're gonna rock out. We'll take a break here. We're going to rock out to a band called 86 Bullets.
I like the name there.
Cool name. The band 86 Bullets. Now, what is this crazy band? 86 Bullets. They are on tour.
Oh, nice.
Playing Gettysburg, Rocks Festival.
State College.
They must be somewhere based out of the Pittsburgh area. 86 Bullets is a rock band that brings powerful sound as well as incredible enthusiasm and energy to every performance. These boys were born to rock. Only 3 months after forming, 86 Bullets debuted at 2016 M3 Rock Festival.
Ooh.
Sharing the stage with legendary hard rock bands Tesla, Queensryche, Night Ranger. There's a two-guitar band.
Jeff Another Watson, one that Jeff, people don't think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, Jeff Watson and Brad Gillis. Oh, my God. Thank you, 86 Bullets, for reminding us. Motley Crue, due to the huge buzz, their amazing performance at M3 generated 86 Bullets. Exposure on radio stations is steadily increasing, and the band would love to take you along for the ride. So, we are going to go ahead and rock out to 86 Bullets. This is a track that you guys can get on iTunes, but you want to go to 86bullets.com, and that is the number 86. This is a track called Together from the album Animals and Angels on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, 86 Bullets. Okay, 86 Bullets, a little quicker ending there than I expected. Cool band. You can go to 86bullets.com and check them out. The album is called Animals and Angels.
I like that.
That was cool. Yeah, cool. And the track is Together. Check them out. Great band. They're playing, it appears to be like they're playing around the central PA area. So those of you who are in PA, you may have a chance to check them out. Great band. Really enjoyed it. So, all right, let's go ahead and get into this. We are talking about the bands with the top bands with a great guitar, twin guitar attack. And there are so many. We could just go back and forth. I mean, I don't know what everybody has on their list. I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. So maybe what we'll do is let's go around the room and say our number five.
Number five?
Go around the room, okay. and say our number five. And that's how we will... do it.
Okay.
Okay. So start with Lily.
All right. My number five is actually the Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, Yardbirds 1 year that they played together. Obviously, because they're going to be the most influential to me with the two guitar players who, well, one started Zeppelin, obviously, and then Jeff Beck, you really don't have to say much about that. But they, I mean, they didn't do a whole lot in that year, but it was enough, I think, to mean something.
To make music history. Yes.
Hey, did that whole Zeppelin thing with, you know, some time, and then Jimmy, Jeff Beck only went on to be the greatest freaking guitar player of all time.
Right,
so,
they
did pretty well.
Well, the reason it's my number five is just because it was the 1 year, but, I mean, that's my most influential.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. I didn't even know it was 1 year. That's why I had to ask. I was like, I think they were together maybe 6 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it didn't even matter because once you have those two in a band, that would have just been completely killer.
Right. Obviously.
I want to say Jeff Hanneman and Kerry King from Slayer. That's my number five. There's nothing really you can say other than, I mean, it speaks for itself.
I'm not a big Kerry King.
I think those two guys worked really, really, really well together. Those riffs are amazing. The way the guys work together, that wall of sound they created with that ram it down your throat. I just thought it was just absolutely devastating, so I have to give my shout out to those guys. That's my number five.
I'm a Slayer fan, but I'm a Kerry Thorpe. I always kind of like, there's only so much I can, only so much one bar I can take, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's,
I like the way they work together. Good, but go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. My number five would be these two just work great together, and it's Aerosmith. Aerosmith, Joe Perry, and Brad Whitford. I mean, you can't really say nothing bad. How long they've been together. I mean, and they play different, but it's great together. That's what the cool thing, you know. Joe Perry has more of that kind of cool lead thing. Brad Whitford just kind of lays back, plays a mean rhythm, and can, you know, pop in a little every once in a while. Right. But, you know, yeah, their role in that marking for them for, well, since, you know, pretty much the, you know, dinosaur days, we'll say. So.
Way back.
All right. So that is our number fives. So what do we have? So let's go around the room. What's your number four, Lily?
My number four is going to be Downing and Tipton from Judas Priest. I mean, Downing had the aggressive rock guitar style with the dual leads of Tipton. I mean, they had different styles, but then later on they kind of sort of meshed and did something similar with the speed and the accuracy on that. And they used that, what I read, because I don't know what this means, but speed picking. I don't know what that means. but that's my number four.
My number four is completely, I mean, because I'm actually not a fan of this band, but I think the guitar work is outstanding and amazing, and these two guys work. This is a great example of two guys that their styles are distinctive. They mesh together really well. They work around each other really well, and that is Mike McCready and Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam. I'm not a big Pearl Jam fan, but
you know what? Goddamn picks now. That's I was going to say the same thing, and that is.
But that's my number four. You know, well, we can agree. It's okay. It's good that we agree. I mean, I'm not like, you know, screw you. You took mine. It's not. It's not like, you know.
You know, I hate agreeing, but that's a great pick. Whether you're a Pearl Jam fan or not, those two just are like, they're like bees and
kickers. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, I don't think as a guitar player, whether you like their music, or you liked grunge or whatever.
If it works, it works.
I think you have to be like in awe of the way those two guys worked together in that band, the way they put the parts together. When you analyze it, they're doing very distinctive things that make a whole sound together. I mean, just everything, their approach, everything about it, their riffs, everything about what they did was just absolutely fantastic. I would love to be in a band with two guitar players that worked. We were that worked with each other. And, you know, there's a lot of bands, I think some other bands are going to be on my list, where either the guys play locked together or one guy's rhythm and one guy's lead, but these guys tend to kind of work their way around each other in a really unique way that I don't really know. Well, there is a couple others that did too, but anyways, but yeah, that's my number four. Keith?
I'm going with which was Judas Priest. I mean, you can't really go wrong with Judas Priest. I mean, those two just both shred when needed, and they just played well together. And harmony, both, you know, solos going on. I think Glenn Tipton definitely has, you know, is a stronger player, I think. But KK Downing, you know, no slouch himself, and I think the two really just work well together. Like, they're legendary. That kind of two guitar attack.
Okay, Lily.
We do my number three. Okay, my number three is going to be the Young Brothers from AC/DC, Malcolm and Angus. Angus is obviously more hyperactive. Malcolm's more reserved. Angus was influenced by blues and Scottish folk music, and Malcolm was influenced by rock and blues. Malcolm was kind of more like the sort of leader, I would say, on that with the band's sound, as far as who was doing more of this stuff, I guess. I don't know how to say that. And developing many of the riffs, I guess. But and I think sort of maybe it's because they were brothers that they could mesh well. I know people would think maybe they would argue more, but I think that's why, because they were blood and they could just work together well. So that's my number three.
Okay. That's your number three?
Yeah.
My number three, I'm going to go in another totally crazy direction, is I am, and maybe I don't want to get any in an argument with anybody, but this is just my feeling about it. Actually, this was a band I really wanted to put at number one, but being more of a hard rocker guy, I couldn't do it. Keith Richards and Ron Wood. Again, great interplay. And Ronnie is really the only other guitar player that can really play well with Keith. They tried it, you know, with Brian Jones and Mick Taylor, and it, you know, it was cool, but it was really when Ronnie Wood came in there. But those two, it's just like, and when you see, think of the Stones, you know, you don't even remember those other guys. They just become iconic. You know, they just got.
Keith doesn't either. So, yeah.
What'd you say?
I said Keith probably doesn't remember half the people anyway.
So I mean, this was a really top to do these in five, because I wanted to also say, you know, somebody's going to go over the honorable mentions, because I wanted to say Joe Perry and Brad Whitford as well. But, you know, these are just too hard to kind of work them into five. We kind of put ourselves in a corner here. But that's my number three, is not the Glimmer Twins, but Richards and Ronnie Wood. Keith?
I'm going to actually, number three for me is James Hetfield and Kirk Hammett. I think those two have been together since early on. James knows his part. He writes all those cool riffs, and Kirk just fills in and does his thing. James knows slouch rhythm guitar at all. Those two have been working well together for a very long time. I think there's a great chemistry there, obviously, and I think they both, again, I love bands where people know their roles, man. It's like, okay, this cool riff, and, you know, color it with leads or whatever you want to do, and they work well together, and it's definitely it's made them legendary. So I'm going to go with Metallica, James Hetfield, Hammond.
Okay.
Cool.
And again, those are two that I wanted to put on my list as well. There just wasn't enough to cram everybody on, but I think I want to add that I think that James Hetfield is the Malcolm Young of that band. He's one of the great rhythm guitar players. And the fact, and try to sing, okay, you singers out there that play guitar, try to sing and play Sad But True. Try it. Just try.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. It's effed up. So, it's tough to, yeah. I mean, the rhythm is so counter with the, you see him live, man, he just doesn't miss it. He's like totally into it.
He's a badass, and
Hammett, Kirk Hammett, really influenced. He's one of those guys that, because Joe Satriani and Steve Vai, and there was these guys that were just had this like crazy pyrotechnic technique, I think that Kirk Hammett gets kind of overlooked sometimes as a great lead guitar player. But I taught a lot of students that wanted to learn Kirk Hammett solo. So Kirk Hammett, dynamite guitar. I think it's a great pick. Go ahead, Lily.
My number two is going to be Murray and Smith of Iron Maiden. I know there was another one in there. I don't really know about him too much. But Moreno was known for his more polished, tied together sort of sound, and then Smith was known for his melodic, so I think that kind of meshed well. And I love that band, so there you go.
All right. I would just say what my number two is the Young Brothers. Not really much more we could say about that, but you guys aren't
not at all.
But I mean, you know, again, just a great. Here's the one thing I do want to add about AC/DC is that, and Keith's a musician, and anybody out there who plays music knows, try covering AC/DC in a one guitar band.
It doesn't work.
It does not. You can do it.
But it's
not
the
same. You're really missing. It turns into something else. It doesn't really sound like AC/DC. You need that guy playing those chunky chords, that cool syncopated rhythms. That's what you need. You have to have that, or else it turns into something else. I don't know exactly what. It doesn't sound bad because the songs are great. Great songs are great songs. You can play a great song on a swinette, and it doesn't matter. But... So that's the thing I just kind of want to add that I don't think we'll touch on with AC/DC is the how really important it is to have that. It really misses something without the Malcolm guitar work. What do you got, Keith? What's your number two?
For me, number two, this was tough. I was going to put this at number one, but my number one for just the rock and roll 101. For me, number two is, I know there are three, I think there are three guitars at this point, but talk about them when they are two. Iron Maiden, Adrian Smith, Dave Murray, and I think Yannick Gers is the other guy.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know a whole lot about him. So.
We're going to talk
about
that.
Yeah. We won't get into the technicalities of it, so please keep your comments to yourself. But I will talk about the two guitar version of Iron Maiden. They're legendary. And once again, longevity, man. These guys have been together for years. I mean, a long time. They obviously work well together, and that's where I'm at with that. Justin, my number two is the Iron Maiden, a two guitar attack right there. That's okay. What else can you say?
All right, Lily V6, here we go. It's a moment of truth. Who's your number one? Not two, not three, not four.
My number one is going to be Joe Perry and Brad Whitford of Aerosmith. Number one, because it's my favorite band ever. I know everybody thinks it's Motley Crue. It's actually not. This is my favorite band. But I like them because they're very different. Brad is actually school-taught in guitar. Joe is kind of self-taught in guitar. And they can even write songs for each other. They've done that solos for each other a couple of times. So they just work. Like Keith said, they've been together forever. They just work well together. And they can do the back and forth seamlessly on the solos. So that's my number one.
I really had a hard time with this. I flip-flopped around. I'm going to flip-flop here at the last minute.
He's gonna
because I was going to land with Adrian Smith and Dave Murray of Iron Maiden.
But
I think I'm going to have to, because it was really like, I have to put KK Downing and Glenn Tipton in here somewhere. So I'm going to go with Glenn Tipton and KK Downing. I think that they really impressed me because they were able to do so much music. If you listen to all the different, because Priest is not a one trick pony. That band has done a lot of, they even did like a funky kind of record at one point with, you know, they did, but they have a record that's got like a lot of synth on it. And these guys have found a way that no matter what Priest does, is to kind of step up to the plate and sound amazing.
They make it work.
Yeah, they just, you know. Now, I know KK Downing is retired, and their new guitar player, Richie Faulkner, is a badass. He's a young guy. But that lineup is just, I mean, they had bluesy stuff. They've done thrash. They've covered so much different territory, and together it's one thing for a guitar player to cover a lot of different territory in different bands, but this is in the same band, and it's like these guys just like, okay, whatever the band's, we'll step right up to the plate, we can play that, yeah, you want to do this, we'll play that. And it's just, and they have great chops and great technique, and they're tasteful and soulful. They kind of have it all going on, in my opinion. And they are also just equals, I think, in terms of technical ability. They've played the solos together, stuff in harmony, So they're gonna be my number one at least tonight.
For this moment in time, this is his number one. He will change in about 5 minutes.
There's so many that I love. So it was
being
it,
a guitar player.
Tough to, and there was some that. I thought for a while, like, well, putting Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood in here is kind of like, you know, maybe that spot could be better served. But again, as a musician and as a music fan, I just felt like they needed to be given their due because they do work great together. But anyways, it's Tipton and Downing for me for number one. What do you got for number one, Keith?
Number one for me is something, you know, band has been mentioned already, but it's me. They are just how two guitars should work. I mean, it's the Young Brothers. It's Mel and Angus. That to me is rock and roll, two guitar 101. That is how you got the guy laying down the rhythm track and you got the guy that flows over it. I mean, that's kind of textbook two guitar playing. I mean, I like the more technical side of it sometimes where there's two, you know, harmony lead going on where they're playing off each other. I mean, but this, it's just a straight rock and roll thing. I mean, that's, what else can you say about those two has already been said, and you know, God rest Malcolm's soul, but I mean that's two together.
God rest your soul. What?
Malcolm's soul.
Oh, God rest Malcolm's soul.
God rest my soul.
I mean, yeah.
God rest.
Damn it. This is taking too long.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, there, I mean, AC/DC, in my opinion, without Malcolm, in my opinion, is done. I don't really know what they're going to do.
No, I can't. I can't without him.
I don't think that it's really, you know. But I can't see Angus Young and Brian Johnson not wanting to play music.
Right.
So I don't know what they're going to do. But I can't imagine. It's like, and I know nobody wants to hear this, but I mean, I've heard it right out of Geddy Lee's mouth, and I heard it right out of Alex Lifeson's mouth. They are not done. They didn't say Rush is going to continue, but they're not done playing music. And it would be a shame if those guys were forced to retire just because Neil Peart had to retire. I mean, those guys should do something. Maybe they should.
He's going to smack.
They shouldn't do. You really don't think Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson? You think they should stop playing music? You don't think that. You don't think that.
I heard Alex Lifeson put out a solo record years ago called Victor. Did you ever hear that?
I have it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's okay. But they should do, I think that they should continue making music. I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, they're not, you know, they still have it in them. I mean, I think they're wonderful musicians.
I just don't think some bands should do
that. They're great musicians. They're one of my favorite bands. You know this.
But
shit.
I don't think they should go back out as Rush. And I don't think that they will. No. They won't call themselves Rush.
The pressure for them to get the Mike Portnoy jerk offs of the world to play freaking drums is not going to work, man. Sorry. So you can find whoever you want. And
I think Bill Bruford could play with them like no problem. I think Vinny Caliuta. I think there's some drummers that could step up and play that gig. They should not call it Rush. They just shouldn't. Call, I don't think that they would. I don't think they would. I think they'll call it something else. And you know, maybe they won't tour. Maybe they'll just make. I mean, could Neil play enough to record? You don't think so?
I don't think he'll be good health-wise, man. He has a lot of health issues.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I mean, I can understand why he wouldn't tour. I mean, that's grueling.
I mean, that last tour, man, that really took a butt out of me. He was playing with, like, his feet, his legs were all messed up. And, man, he had, like, you know, problems in his wrist. I mean, he got all kind of, like, his whole body's just the best. Maybe time will heal, man. The guys, none of them are young at this point. So, but
they're
I think
60s.
That, you know. We shall see.
Let's give a shout out to our wonderful Facebook fans.
Our awesome Facebook peeps.
Facebook peeps. So, and here's a band we did not mention, but my former student, Jared Grease, said Korn. And you're not a Korn person, are you, Keith? Korn on the cob.
I think when I first heard Korn's first album, I thought it was interesting. But I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say that it takes, you know, it's interesting music. But then they did the same album like friggin' 40 times. I mean, the first album I thought is interesting, but after that, it kind of just all. So yeah, I mean, two guitar bands, they kind of play off each other. I don't really know what the hell they're doing. Wheels and squeaks and. I don't know.
Well, there's a whole list here. Michael Goltz said Metallica. Jason Pinkney says Aerosmith. Eric, Roger, Iron Maiden. What about these? We did not mention Thin Lizzy or April Wine.
I have Thin Lizzy on my list, but that's kind of just one of the things that just went by the wayside. And
yeah, well,
to
I mean, they're definitely an honorable mention. Both those bands are honorable mentions. Mark.
I mean, we didn't mention Dave Mustaine with any of his guitar player du jour.
Well, I think the best lineup that Mustaine had was him with Marty Friedman, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Marty Friedman's a bad, you know, he's
a bad
monster.
MF-er. Yeah. Mark J says Paul Gilbert and Bruce Boulay from Racer X. Mike Tuvel, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Queensryche. Fran Crasher says Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, and Stryper.
I don't know anything about Stryper.
I do. They have two guitars, but I couldn't. I know one song by them. It'd be hard for me. Nobody mentioned Def Leppard. Michael Goltz. And if you
I can't believe I didn't mention Def Leppard.
That's surprising to me because they had two really good lineups. I mean, with that band, you know, they had, you know, forget the, what was the original guitar player's name? Pete Willis? Was that
Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can tell Steve Clark was kind of more of a self-taught sort of play it by ear, play it from feel. Then you got Phil Collins is more technically, you know, gifted. Then you had Vivian Campbell. I think Vivian Campbell's still in the band, isn't he? Those two are the guitar players.
Yeah.
Since whenever Steve died.
John Marchefka mentioned Racer X, Rat. We didn't mention Rat, Queensryche. Bob Worley, thank you for chiming in. He also mentioned Stryper and Racer X. Bruce Grubb Grimm, Thin Lizzy, Judas Priest, James Conway, Maiden, Priest, Accept, Saxon, Queensryche, Ghost, Rat, Thin Lizzy, Anthrax, Slayer. I think it's more than five, James. RJ Diamond, Maiden, AC/DC, Priest, Kiss. Kiss is a two guitar band, but I was not going to dignify them.
I didn't really want to put them on here.
And what about Guns N' Roses? Izzy Stradlin and
Slash. It would have to be the Izzy Stradlin Slash era for me. You know, just those two can play. They play completely different. I mean, definitely, they're both bluesy guitar players. But I think Izzy Stradlin, there's a lot of songs that he wrote on the Use Your Illusion albums that were really cool. And if you ever heard his solo band, he's a good songwriter and he can sing. So he got like a cool bluesy thing kind of happening, kind of like the guys you mentioned in Black Crowes.
He's
always
like
Mark Ford.
He's more like that.
After Mark Ford left the Black Crowes, they were still a great band, but it wasn't as good. I didn't think.
Yeah.
I think Mark Ford has been in that band a few times, too.
Yeah, he comes and goes. He's one of those guys that doesn't do well solo. Neither does Rich Robinson. He tried to go solo, but Jerry Romeo, yeah. The Outlaws, Leonard Skinner in Boston. And then Fran Crasher again chimed in with the Scorpions and Cinderella. Another band that we've mentioned briefly because we inadvertently ran across them was Night Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys, I remember when that band came out, like every guitar player wanted to play like Brad Gillis and Jeff Watson. I had a lot of students bring me Don't Tell Me You Love Me, want to learn that solo. kind of more pop, but, you know, still great guitar work on that stuff. So thanks everybody for chiming in. Anybody, live people we would need to mention?
Let me go ahead and pull
Robert
that up.
Roscoe, Kevin D. Rose, Mickey Hernandez mentioned Rat. Can I scroll these?
You should be able to.
Oh, right. Yeah. We got a few here. Robert Ezizio says Slash. No, Slash is not. No. Well, Slash is banned with Miles Kennedy. Miles Kennedy doesn't play guitar. Maxwell Carey is watching. Ashley, Randy, thank you guys. Matt Francis says Judas Priest. William Eiler, thank you for chiming in. Dave Mustaine and Marty Friedman, thank you, Matt. That's I know we were talking about there. Frank Wilk, Mike Martin, a whole bunch of you guys on here. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us live tonight in the studio. So, and anything else we want to mention there before we wrap it up for tonight, guys?
Just Michelle.
Lily wants to plug.
I can't wait. Again, as always, listen to my show, Hot Licks with Lily Six, only on Rock Rage Radio. You can go to Thursday nights at 6. You can go to the app, which is you can download on your iPhone or whatever smartphone you have. Or you can go to the website, rockrageradio.com.
What are you doing to the microphone?
He's licking the microphone because I say Hot Licks with Lily Six, so he licks the microphone every time.
Really kind of does it for you, huh?
I don't know why it's a thing.
So, Keith, what's going on with you, buddy? What do you got coming up? Anything you got going on you want to talk about?
Got some gigs at the end of the month. Band's on a little hiatus right now. The bass player's father passed away, so we're in that mode right now. So it's but at the end of the month, there's some Blackwater shows coming up, and I got some other stuff in the works, but nothing work right now. It's all in the works.
You need somebody to go live on Facebook when you guys are performing so I can watch it.
Yeah. End of the month, I'll try to get some more videos.
Please.
It'll be that time of the month for you, Keith.
Wow, there it is.
When the time of the month rolls around.
You know what band we forgot to mention that had one guitar player, two guitar players, about 10 more that, you know, the whole, I looked up the whole list of. Whitesnake had so many guitar players, sometimes two at one time, sometimes one. Steve Vai played with them, Red Beach, I mean, John Sykes.
Red
Beach. I mean, Adrian Vandenberg. These guys have been through a lot of great guitar players. We really didn't mention any of those either. So Whitesnake had a shit guitar players.
Yeah, John Sykes was in that band, Adrian Vandenberg. What's his name? Was it Vivian Campbell?
Yeah.
Played with them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I put them on the one album, and Red Beach has played with them. I think he plays with them now.
You know, they're putting out a new album with all new tracks and everything. I'm very interested to hear what it sounds like. I want to check it out. I hope it's good. Yeah. Like, I hope they don't put out something that's like some BS, you know? If they do something, I hope David Coverdale gets his voice together and I hope they sound good.
Oh, we'll see.
I mean, YouTube is brutal to him, man. There's some really very, you know, it's like very non-flattering vocal performances of his right now. Again, it could just be that he's tired. You know, that happens. These guys tore.
He's an old man. You know.
So that is it for this week. Twin Guitar Attack. It's freaking legendary. And we pretty much covered it all here. If you didn't hear your favorite band, then that band probably sucks anyways, and that's probably why we didn't talk about them. So you listen to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Do all the stuff there. If you want to get some behind the scenes, we're going to go behind the scenes here in a minute. And go to Lou Lombardi. Get on my inner circle. Go to LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. Exclusive music, exclusive videos, exclusive conversation, all kind of cool stuff. Check it out at LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's been a lot of fun, man. We played a lot of cool bands tonight. We had a lot of fun talking about, as always. So please chime in. When you see our Facebook post, tell us what you think. And if you have a suggestion for a future podcast, we'd love to hear it. Please hit any of us up. You can private message us or just leave a comment on any of our posts and say, hey, guys, why don't you talk about this? And we'll gladly take it under advisement. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. And we'll catch you guys all next time on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Ooh.
Show me, I'll bring the man.